All right, everyone, we're back on Mysteries of the Ohio Valley. We are throwing it back to October of 2021, where myself and Devin Beasley, my good old podcast pal, many of you know Devin, of course, from the earlier seasons of Mysteries of the Ohio Valley, dive in to stories about the Mothman. Are these all the stories about the Mothman? No, absolutely not. But they are a couple of fun ones that I think you will enjoy. I am not able to record a full episode at the moment. I'm traveling and have been for the last week and change. It's been a crazy week here in the world of Stoveleg, but all for, you know, good things. My brother's graduating from college. I'm down here at Southern Illinois University, not far from the Anna Bixby Cave and a number of the other mysteries that we've talked about on this show, and I'm just really excited to get into more fun stuff next week. But in the meantime, while I'm traveling, I wanted to throw it back to a Patreon episode that has never been released to the public, well, until now. So please enjoy, and I will see you guys next week for a Histories of the Ohio Valley episode. Until then, enjoy the mystery of the Mothman. Welcome back, Patreon subscribers, and welcome to Mysteries of the Ohio Valley. Of course, I'm Nate along with Devin, and on today's show, we're traveling to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the same place as our seventh installment on our main feed. Now, if you're listening right now, it would be maybe October 1st. This is when this episode releases. The seventh episode won't release for a couple more weeks, a little closer to Halloween, and I think this is going to be a fun one. It's going to be fun, Devin. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and this episode is a little more recent than our other story from West Virginia. This discussion today is about one of the more popular folklore creatures. Can anybody guess?
Bigfoot.
Close.
The Loch Ness Monster.
One more time.
The Loveland Frogman. Yes.
No, it is the infamous Mothman.
Ooh, all right. I cannot wait. Of course, I knew that because I was the one who wrote the script. But before we do, if you are already donated to the show, first of all, thank you. We can't say thank you enough to our Patreon subscribers. You guys truly do make this all worth it for us. And this will make the show continue for a very long time and give Devin and I a little bit of room to run as far as the kind of fun that we're going to have on this show, having more maybe ghostly or more folklore topics that we can dive into that aren't maybe true crime per se, but can really expand our palette, and hopefully yours too, on your listening side. But if you haven't left us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, you might as well go over there and follow us on Instagram at Ohio Valley Mysteries. We got a few followers over there already, and it's really just great how we've been able to build our community of those of us who just love the Mysteries of the Ohio Valley and all this place has to offer. And big shouts to Kelly for coming in at $3 range.
Yes.
So we hope that you enjoy those stories.
Appreciate that, Mom.
As much as we enjoy telling them. Yes. Right? This is fun for us as much as it is hopefully for everyone. And as promised, now everyone will dive into the mystery that you've been waiting for. It's the October Patreon ep. We're talking about the Mothman.
Okay, so I'm going ahead and set the stage here.
Do it.
We're going to have to go back to what is called Almost Heaven, West Virginia.
And you did not know the song.
I didn't.
I'm jumping on you for
that. I didn't know the lyrics. I knew the chorus.
I had to like sing it. No, you only knew the West or what
is it? Take me home.
Yeah, country roads.
I'm always singing on this. I'm so sorry, people.
Well, the problem is you didn't even know the full lyric on that
side. You helped me out on that.
Well, Almost Heaven, West Virginia. Continue.
Great name, by the way.
What do you like better? Almost Heaven, West Virginia or West by God, Virginia?
Almost Heaven.
That's a little bit better.
Yeah,
I feel like saying it with my accent doesn't work as well, but if I had like a real like West by God, Virginia, it might have a little bit more of like some girth
gumption
to it. Yeah, gumption. That's a great word. Mm. Great word.
Okay. Anyway, so it's back in the 1960s, okay? On November 12th of 1966, the five grave diggers near Clendenden.
Yeah, that's pronounced right, I'd say. Clendenden.
I feel like I just stuttered a little bit.
Clendenden, yeah.
Okay, so Clendenden, which is close to Point Pleasant, they claim to have seen a flying man-like figure fly low at the trees and just over the men's heads. This is most often known as the first sighting of what became known as the Mothman.
And just 3 days after that first sighting, a second sighting of the Mothman was reported by two young couples from Point Pleasant. On November 15th of 1966, two young couples from Point Pleasant, Roger and Linda Scarberry, and Steve and Mary Mallett told police they saw a large gray creature whose eyes glowed red when the car's headlights picked it up, which is terrifying. They described it as a large flying man with 10-foot wings following their car while they were driving in an area outside of town known as the TNT area. And we'll talk more about the TNT area in a little bit. It was actually a former World War II munitions plant, so that's kind of cool and kind of creepy. While this creature was a fast flyer, the couples did note that it didn't run well and was a little clumsy when it was, you know, scurrying away.
Kind of like you when you run?
Yes, that is my golf and baseball background right there for you. Roger Scarberry, one of the four that reported the beast, told local newspapers that he knew how crazy it sounded, and if he didn't say anything or if he didn't see anything, he wouldn't have said anything. But
that's how all stories start. Listen, I know how crazy this is about to sound, but
if he did, though, see it, that the other three people, if no one believed him, then the other three people would back him up. So right. He thought he maybe didn't sound so crazy, or what I wrote here was ludicrous.
Love that. So Scarberry added on that the creature chased their car in the air until they got out of town. It then landed behind their car and then scurried into a nearby field before disappearing into the night. Now put yourself in the shoes of the newspaper writer when he hears this for the first time, Nate. Now this is so out of left field that I don't even think I could write this story with a serious angle. So I could see him writing the article from a point of like, crazed residents of Point Pleasant claim to have seen they have claimed to have seen a large winged beast or something like, you know, something crazy.
So
along those lines.
When I did read the early reports of the Mothman, that's kind of how the newspaper, you're not far off at least from how the newspapers stated it, but maybe not so harsh, right? It wasn't like they were crazy individuals. they skeptically did call the beast a probable very large bird with red eyes, and they kind of downplayed the thought that this could be some mythical creature that was gracing the town of Point Pleasant. I kept writing earlier, I was like, mystical beast? I don't know why. Do you ever do that?
Do what?
Do you ever call it a mystical beast and not a mythical beast?
Oh,
or mythical. A mythical creature, a mystical creature.
I think I do use mystical.
Is there like a difference between the two? I did not actually write that in our notes, so I don't have.
I don't know that, but know who would know that? My mother, because she even corrected us on the Yellow Pages. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, Yellow Pages.
It was
yellow
White Pages or the White Book. Now she's gonna be mad at me.
The White Book.
That's where addresses were. Yellow was for businesses.
Yellow. Oh really? Yellow was for business.
So, sorry, Mom.
Okay, that probably explains. Like, did she leave a bad review? I was gonna say.
Star.
I was gonna say we got. You know, we don't have a lot of, you know, bad reviews, but I bet that's what
that's
it was.
That's just the millennial in us.
It
we
may
don't
have
know
been someone who. Yeah, we're really showing our true colors. It may have been someone. What if it was someone who like worked for the Yellow Pages? It was like, that's not us.
Yeah.
You can't put that on us.
Definitely.
And I wonder if that really did hurt our causes. But.
So we need like a fact checker.
Yes, or better yet, just another 5-star view. So if you want to like help us out, please go and even out that, you know, mean Yellow Pages disgruntled worker from the past. But so during the next few days, other people reported similar sightings. So it's not just the gravediggers. It's not just the two young couples. Two volunteer firemen who saw it said it was a large bird with red eyes. Mason County Sheriff George Johnson commented that he believed the sightings were due to an unusually large heron he termed a, and I probably am going to cuss here and I don't mean to.
Let it happen.
Let
it rip.
The shitty poke, the shite poke, the shitty poke. I don't know. Shitepoke. Contractor Noel Partridge told Johnson that when he aimed his flashlight at a creature in a nearby field, its eyes glowed like bicycle reflectors, and blamed buzzing noises from his television set and the disappearance of his German Shepherd dog on that creature. Now, a German Shepherd, this isn't like a little Maltese or a poodle. A German Shepherd would fight that. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest dogs and most ferocious dogs you can buy. I love German Shepherds, but...
Yeah, me too.
I don't
but
see...
But the hair, man. They
do shed a lot. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But, still, I live in an apartment, so we can't have German Shepherds. But if I did, I wouldn't be worried about a hawk even coming down and taking away a German Shepherd. They're
absolutely
very loyal,
not.
So they're probably not just going to run off.
No.
But still, he blamed this creature on the disappearance of his dog. Wildlife biologist Dr. Robert L. Smith at West Virginia University told reporters that descriptions and sightings all fit the sandhill crane, which is very anticlimactic. Okay. I don't want to be a bird. I want to be the Mothman. Mm-hmm. But that is a large American crane that stands almost as high as a man with a 7-foot wingspan.
I don't believe it.
Featuring circles of reddish coloring around its eyes. And that might have, maybe it wandered away from its migration route.
And where is that at? Where do they migrate?
Down to Florida, maybe? I don't know, warmer weather? Yeah. Maybe they rest up in the Northeast.
I'm just trying not to buy this story.
No, I'm not really either, at least on that side. But the particular crane was unrecognized at first because it's not native to its region, and that's why everyone was so confused. If you don't see birds that size, Grant, I have never seen a bird even close to being as tall as I am.
Could it have been like deformed or something? Just like a massively huge crane. Is that possible?
They don't call it wild and wonderful West Virginia, right, for nothing. Mm. I think that anything's possible in this situation. We mentioned earlier in this episode about some of the early sightings taking place in an area called the TNT area, which has been suspected by some to have toxic chemicals and wastes from the old munitions depot there. So could a large crane have mutated?
Mutation action.
It could have. I don't know. I feel like I know so little about a lot of things, but especially about genetic mutation, that I'm just going to kind of guess that anything's possible, although I know I'm probably wrong. Could I grow like a third arm or something like that out of my stomach if I fell into a mutation or like a, I don't know, like a pile of weird goo from the nuclear mud. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so are we ready to talk about the Silver Bridge collapse?
Yeah, I mean,
I know we kind of talked about it before.
We do. We allude to it in episode 5 of season 1. So if you're listening to this right when the episode drops, it'll be the first episode of October that we release. And I know we promised to talk about it more over here, and chronologically we're about there in the story, so let's do it.
Okay, so December of 1967. A little more than a year since the first reported sightings of our infamous Mothman, when the Silver Bridge collapsed. Now, originally, the bridge carried U.S. Route 35 over the Ohio River, connecting Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and Gallipolis, Ohio. So, Nate, you cross the Ohio River a lot for work, correct?
Yes, all the time.
Okay, so you'll know about this more than a lot of people now, because COVID, I doubt a lot of people going to work.
Sure.
Okay, anyways, it was rush hour on December 15th, 1967, which was a Friday, and what I'm getting to is everyone knows who lives near a major road or highway or city knows how bad the traffic will get, right?
Oh, especially on Friday. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, when I'm trying to get home, crack some brews,
That's stopping you.
Trying to get home, yes.
Okay, so several cars were stopped on the Silver Bridge, which, having been stressed by too much weight on the bridge and having been poorly maintained, it collapsed. Now, this accident killed 46 people, two of which were never discovered, and that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, this collapse forced a lot of communities all across the world, not just in West Virginia, not just in Ohio, all over in the country and abroad. And so I imagine that, you know, a lot of people were taken aback by this because there were bridge collapses before. People have died before, but this is truly one of the most tragic events in all of American history.
To think about.
It truly is. And so I take a little bit of comfort in the idea that even though there was one tragedy, those lives lost weren't in vain. It was a structural issue with the bridge. That's what a lot of scientists have looked at. Bridge architects. Actually, I do know someone. I should have called him in for this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I do know someone whose father runs a bridge architectural company out in Western Kentucky. But they... You know, still, I can't imagine how much the science has improved over the years. It's got to be just monumental. And for a suspension bridge, too. I cross a suspension bridge in Cincinnati, you know, going in and out of Cincinnati.
And they say that one's not great either,
no,
by the way.
I don't know if that's, like, not great. What does that mean?
Yeah, like in 80 years, it'll still be cooking or, like, not great as or of like, tomorrow.
Yeah, so...
Like, say a prayer.
And I would like to think that, I like to at least think that it's going to last every time. But I got to tell you, though, it's a weird feeling of like knowing, like when I think of bridges getting fixed and looked at and stuff, I have this weird feeling, though. I believe that it's going to stay up. But if I get caught in traffic, either going into work or leaving work, and I don't live very far from downtown, so if I do get stuck in traffic, there's a good chance it's going to be on one of those bridges.
God, this one makes me sick a little bit.
Like the Southgate Bridge, like near the Newport Aquarium, if anyone's familiar with this area. Mm-hmm. And when I do, I always have this weird little thought. It's not a phobia.
Stop. My hands are sweating.
But I do have this like strange feeling like, wow, I really could be. I'm just one little crack away from becoming fish food in the Ohio River.
Right. Well,
and my Volvo, too. I don't know if my Volvo's good eating for like the trout or the carp that are in. Yeah, the Ohio River. We ought to just do mysteries of the Ohio River. Of just what we find in there. It's like, well, I found a booch. I found a dead body. I found, you know, who knows what you're going to get.
A lot.
In that muddy big river.
Okay, so let's hope that that never happens again to you or to anyone.
Please, yes.
With the Silver Bridge. So there have also been memorials put up for this bridge, and the replacement bridge for the Silver Bridge actually is called the Silver Memorial Bridge. There are also a number of Mothman sightings at the disaster site.
Of course. We couldn't get away from it.
This is where we're getting, you know, all put back together. But never again has the Mothman been credibly sighted in that area. And now I have a ton of questions, Nate. Is the Mothman an angel of death kind of character, or what are you thinking?
You're not the only one whose imagination has kind of run wild on this, you know, on this thing happening. In his 1970 book Operation Trojan Horse and his 1975 book The Mothman Prophecies, Fortean author John Keel linked the Silver Bridge collapse to the alleged sightings of the Mothman on that day. Now that's a very tragic event. When this bridge collapsed, and who knows if, you know, people that were on the bridge that barely escaped, or people that were injured in the bridge. I don't know if you fall off a bridge like that, if there's any chance you survive. And if you do, you know, who knows what kind of trauma you've gone through.
Awful.
I mean, it's got to be a scary thing. I could see someone thinking that they saw the Mothman in that spot.
Who knows what your mind goes through.
Yeah, I know bridge architects, the experts say, no, there was like it was bad foundation. Like this was just designed wrong, and that's why we had this tragedy.
Yeah, but for people to like place him there as well, that's kind of creepy.
It is a little creepy. And so he did link that Silver Bridge collapse to the sightings of the Mothman, and that story was adapted as a film by the same name, which was released in 2002. There's also a Mothman movie released in 2010. So if it's October,
we should have a Ohio Valley Spooky Night.
Spooky movie night. Loving I like it. The idea. Richard Gere is in the Mothman Prophecies movie. And Devin, I know you love 90s movies.
Yes.
Pretty Woman, that's got to be, you know, on the top of your list.
Absolutely. Probably, I love Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably not Richard Gere is the reason why you're watching that. But that is an entertaining movie. 1990, we were doing our research on that. So not a bad one. But if we are going to watch a movie, we might have to look to see where that is streaming. That, again, is The Mothman Prophecies. So I don't know. That could be a good fun watch. It very well could be.
Okay, so let's start discussing more about the possible explanations for the Mothman,
shall we? Yes.
Let's revisit the bird theory. Now, we think, could it have been a crane with mutation of some sorts? What are your thoughts?
There is a biologist out there, at least, that says that there is a possibility that it could have been a crane that has, you know, really red eyes. I don't think it's going to be an owl, right? I mean, an owl would have those big eyes looking back at you, but yeah,
I don't think an owl can grow to be that size
mutation
and all. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that would be terrifying. That would have to be put down. Like, you would have to kill that owl.
Yes.
There are no two ways about it. That
you
is
better have a good shot.
Yes, because an owl already itself, like a barn owl, you know, Jamie and John on True Crime Cast, actually, they did an episode where it was questioned whether or not a woman was killed by a barn owl or if she was killed by other means.
You know what else?
Uh-huh.
What show was what were they talking about?
There was a.
Do you remember the woman?
Yeah, it was a woman who like she fell down her stairs or whatever.
The staircase on Netflix.
Is there a Netflix show?
Oh my god,
about
like
that?
One of the best documentaries.
But a barn owl was like
they
thought of.
Yeah,
it could have
clawed her in her back and everything from the owl. But then the documentary shows how the husband is kind of...
Yeah, he's kind of the person who was probably the one who did something like that.
So give that a watch and give that a listen.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of...
That's
a lot
of good episode.
But the barn owl theory, or just an owl theory, I think that's out. The heron theory, I think, is kind of interesting. But would you mistake a heron with that long beak, right, for a humanoid moth that's flying around?
No.
terrifying people.
No, not with like 10-foot wingspan or whatever it said.
It would kind of make sense, though, if I don't assume that a heron would be aggressive. Maybe it would be. I don't know the aggression patterns of heron. That's not what I...
I haven't heard of like heron attacks.
No. Can you imagine? That'd be terrifying. Those big beaks and stuff, that would be horrible. But the fact that it allegedly chased the car out and then landed in the field, then like ran, like scuttled away. Mm-hmm. That does kind of sound like it would be a bird, though, because birds don't run
I'm
well.
I'm still not buying it.
But yeah, I mean, those big long legs of like a heron or a crane.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe, but I hope not. So it could maybe just be a story made up to prevent people from going toward the munitions depot in the TNT area. Kind of like a forewarning story, like, ooh, don't go to the TNT area. The Mothman will get you.
Yeah,
That's probably how exactly it was told, too, in the hills of West Virginia.
Passed down from generation to generation.
Yes, using that exact same accent.
One more time? I'm kidding. Don't do that. Okay.
Please. People pay for this. Yeah.
Or the last kind of thing that we could think of is a story made up to keep a, like, quote-unquote, lover's lane from starting up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there are even the Zodiac killer, right, there who killed a number of people in the lover's lane. Even that story, even though it was true, unfortunately, that story made a lot of people
not
go to these places because of that. And maybe, there were a couple of couples that saw it first.
Right.
Maybe they were, maybe they figured that they would create the story. Yeah. And then it built from there.
Exactly.
Like, don't be going making out with your girlfriend out over...
Or the Mothman will get you.
Yeah, on Scratch'em Hill or something, because I don't know why that was the first thought I had in Scratch'em Hill, because the Mothman's going to come get you and then chase you out of town until you stop, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but that's not the last idea, though.
What's that, then?
It could be real. The Mothman could? I mean, I don't know.
I kind of am hoping that it is. I like a good story, a good little folklore.
For the sake of the story, you're saying.
Exactly. I hope you're right in that sense. So I'll file this away with those of Bigfoot, the Loveland Frogman, and the Loch Ness Monster type
Loveland
of category.
Frogman. We're going to have to cover the Loveland Frogman.
And we're going to have to
go looking for him, because that's right up the road.
Right up the road.
We have friends in Loveland.
I have a friend in Loveland, and we can go and ask her about her experience, if she's heard it or anything like that.
And for our Patreon listeners, we can go to the smoking monkey.
Yes.
Right down there. That's really close. Huh.
I love
how this is all kind of, it's all kind of meshing here. They're all real. I think we can all assume in some nature either the folklore will live on forever or, the actual Mothman.
It's nice to think about something interesting.
It is, to think that there's more out there than what we, might see on an everyday basis. But even if there isn't a real Mothman, there is a real festival for the creature every year in September. So we just missed it this year, but I don't really think we missed it because... there probably aren't many massive gatherings due to COVID right now, which is going on.
Right. But I do know they have like live bands, food, people dressed up as bug catchers and Mothman or Mothmen, I should say.
Or Mothwomen. Would it be Mothwomen or would it just be... I'll kick that one over to you. What would you be offended by?
Me, neither, but, it's a soft world out there now. So.
Even in West Virginia, maybe. Yeah. Nah, probably not. West Virginia, they probably don't really care over there. They care about one thing, and that is the Mothman. And
the Mothman Festival.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's usually scheduled September 18th and 19th of 2021.
All right.
So let's go.
All right. Hopefully we can get down there, and maybe we'll see some of our listeners there as well.
I love that. Are you going to get a Halloween costume? Mothman?
As the Mothman?
Yeah.
I am so low maintenance sometimes. More often than not, I'm low maintenance on my Halloween costumes. I'm more of like I'm just going to buy my Halloween costume each year. I don't think I'm going to buy a Mothman costume because I bet that would be expensive.
Yes, but you could also wear it to the festival
and also
be a Mothman.
No, if I'm out here, going and meeting... No, if I go to like the bars or something like that...
It's a conversation starter.
Ooh, it is. Yeah, women would
love me
to
be all
just
over
be like,
that.
They're like, so what are you? And I'm like, what do you think
you just,
I
like,
am?
Open your wings.
Yes, yeah. And it's all like, moths have that like really long, they're all fuzzy and awful. But I would like to say this. I think it's worth saying.
Okay.
That if you do go out on Halloween, remember to wear your mask.
Oh my God. Nate. You cannot go one episode.
I'm going off notes on that one, everyone, too. That one is off the top.
Yeah.
And
a classic pun from the one and only Nate Metz.
Yes. And that's exactly what people are paying for, yeah. I assume, at least, mm-hmm. Here for this Patreon episode. But that was fun. And Halloween time. It's October.
Exactly. Let's get going. And if you want more puns, you're just have to tune into the next episode on Patreon.
November 1st. We'll be coming out with another one. We don't know yet what we're going to talk about on that. That's going to be after all of our main feed is done on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to our podcast. And if you have been listening to our podcast, which you probably have if you're donating here on Patreon. We appreciate you so
very
much. This has been so much fun. The download numbers have been great. The reviews have been great. Yeah. It's really hard to have a high-rated show on iTunes or ever, right? I mean, anytime you're putting yourself out there, there are a lot of critics, and that's a good thing because it keeps us sharp. It tells people what they like, and that's going to
helps
boost us
grow as well.
Yeah, it's gonna boost us to that second season. And Devin, we're feeling pretty good about a second season. Yeah. Nothing guaranteed yet.
Right. Fingers crossed.
But the way that we're looking, the momentum that we've built, I think that there is going to be a lot more of Mysteries of the Ohio Valley here in 2021.
On top of that, I appreciate all of the family, friends who have shared or liked the page, shared it on their Facebook, kind of got the word out.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, our other podcasts that we've talked to. Our circle is great. Your circle's awesome. And I've got a nice little smattering of people both here and back in Wisconsin. Yeah. But they, these podcasts that we work with True Crime Cast and Crime Salad and Murder-ish and down the line, these have been so helpful. Cast Media, they just released our little advertisement. They read, right? I sent that to you yesterday, I believe, about them talking about us and just being able to work in this community, both in our local communities and in the podcast true crime realm that is global. We had Stolen Lives, which is Australian. So, we're going all over the place right here through your headphones. And we hope that you guys can continue to stay with us as we move forward into the next episode. So, she's Devin Beasley.
And he is Nate Metz. We'll catch you all next episode later on down the river.